Hello everyone, this is BJ Fox. This is a special episode that we're sending out to all our listeners. Now, this episode was originally sent out on Monday to our lounge members, the Uruwaza Executive Lounge. That's our fan club. Every week we try to send out extra bonus content. Now, we're sharing this one because it's Global Suicide Prevention Day, and in our conversation with Vicky from TEL, which is, let's say, the Nihon Eigo no Inoshi no Denwa, she raised some very interesting points about how you talk about suicide in English. We couldn't put it into the episode because it was too long, but I found it so fascinating, we are sharing it here today. So here is the bonus episode from episode 107. If you want to get more bonus episodes, want to support the podcast, please sign up for the Uruwaza Executive Lounge. It's just 300 yen per month. Bye. Hello, lounge members. This is BJ Fox. Firstly, thank you for all your support. As always, we've had quite a few new members as well, so welcome to the lounge. This is bonus content. Maybe not every episode, but we try to give you a little bit extra just to say thank you. Now, this week's episode, episode 107, End of the World, it's not the end of the world, was a very difficult episode to record. I imagine for some people it was a difficult episode to listen to. It certainly wasn't the fun, light, silly content that you are maybe used to from Terumi and me. Suicide. Global Suicide Prevention Day. This is mental health, I should say, is an issue that Terumi and I both take very seriously. Terumi has talked widely, I believe, about her struggles with certain, issues with surrounding mental health, especially during her time when she was working or just starting her career. I too am surprisingly mentally weak. I'm very interested in counselling. I think actually Terumi and I are both very interested in that aspect of coaching, counselling, and supporting, empowering people. I am actually an ambassador for TEL. So I think I mentioned it, but going in a bit more detail, I became an ambassador for the Tokyo English Lifeline. It's probably 3 years ago. I started doing some work with them, started trying to learn more. We started doing comedy shows largely because, and this is very sad, a comedian in our group died by suicide. It was a young Japanese boy, maybe, I don't know, like 22. Now, you have to understand, in the comedy group, there's lots of people. So I know everyone, but I'm not necessarily close to everyone. Typically, I MC or I organize the shows, but I've got my friends, producer Ruben, but I don't know everyone. But I did know this guy to a degree. And it was very shocking when he died. Very shocking. And there was a lot of guilt associated with it because, if I'm honest, he was doing jokes about killing himself. He would go up on stage, do jokes about killing himself. And in my head, I was like, well, they're just jokes. It never occurred to me it was real. And it maybe, if it did occur to me, I was like, well, I wouldn't say we were friends. We were just comedians doing comedy together. He was very wakate, still very new. So he wasn't on the main shows yet. And yeah, I think like literally the last show he did in Roppongi, he joked about killing himself. And then I go up as MC after him. I make a joke about that. 2 weeks later, he died. And it hit the community very hard. Terrible, really bad. And I decided to start trying to get more involved with the community. Not the comedy community, but the TEL community. Helping out. I'm not a celebrity in any way, but I can do interviews for things like the Japan Times. I'm like a
you know, I've got some level of ability to speak in public. So I've started doing things for Tell, like speaking at their events, helping them organize different things, doing some media work for them. And yeah, I've got a good relationship with Vicky, who, you know, I know her quite well actually now. So anyway, that was the episode. I'm sure it was very hard to listen to, but we actually had some really interesting content. This next clip particularly, I think, is fascinating. Surrounding the language, what should you say? How words can cause issues. And it's a bit like, I think I mentioned in the clip, gender bias. You know, by constantly saying chairman, salesman, using man, it enforces the issue that men are in work and women are not. It enforces a stereotype. Likewise, when we're talking about committing suicide, don't say committing, which is the same as committing a crime. It has a negative stigma to it. Say died by suicide. You say died by cancer, you say died in an accident, you know, same as died by suicide. It's taking out the person's will from it and it stops the word being stigmatized. Anyway, fascinating. Here's a clip. And I've got another question there to Vicky. You used the phrase died by suicide. You said 1,200 people more than last year have died by suicide. Now, for me, and this is coming from the UK, I would tend to say committed suicide. Now, is that a choice you've made there in terms of language? But before you answer, Ted, let me just ask that question, just translate that question, because it's very kind of technical. Instead of committed suicide, Vicky used the word died by suicide.
ビッキーさんは自殺によって亡くなるという表現を英語で die by suicide だから he or she died by suicide とおっしゃりましたけれども BJ も commit suicide で私も学校で commit suicide と習うんですよね So in Japan at schools we learned commit suicide and you don't even need a because suicideis uncountable. You can, this is very cynical, but you do it only once, so you don't need in front of like suicide, commit suicide. That's how we learned, but is this expression a not good one?
Correct. It gives the impression that the person was making a choice that this is what they wanted to happen. And we talk about this word or this illness, suicide, but suicide is the end product of a mental health condition that is not treated, right? So the person dies from the mental health condition that is not treated. They didn't commit suicide. They died from an illness that is not treated. And it's really important that we change our attitude and we take away the shame and the stigma that surrounds this topic so that the person who is ill can get the treatment that they need or that when we see someone who is struggling, we help them to get the treatment that they need. We wouldn't leave a person who had cancer to just struggle with no treatment. We would step in. But we let last year 21,081 people die from an illness that is treatable. It's time to change.
Commit suicide という言葉だと、まあ、自らが自殺を自分の手でしたというようなそんなニュアンスがありますけれども、そうではなくって自殺という行為につながったっていうのは、もう最終的な結果であって、その人たちがしたくてしたわけでもなくて、例えば、癌であれば、癌であれば、それなりの処置が施されて治る。もしくは、処置をするけども亡くなってしまう。それと同じことで、メンタルヘルスの問題を抱えた方は、自ら亡くなったわけではなくて、病気の結果として亡くなってしまう。ということなので、自らの手で、その自殺という行為をしたというようなコメットという言葉、を使うのはふさわしくないと。残念ながら亡くなってしまったという意味で、英語の表現としては、die by suicide がいいですし、コミットということで、その人が自殺という行為を犯した、なんかそれによる後ろめたさ、 というのがかつてはあったかもしれないですけれども、決してそれは後ろめたいことでも何でもなくって、ちゃんとした病気の処置が取られなかったということなので、例えばその後ろめたさ、後ろめたさ、恥ずかしさ、そういったもの、少なからずそういった印象が今まではありましたけれども、ものの考え方が変わるタイミング、うん、ちゃんとそれは心の病気なので、がんの治療と一緒で、しかるべき処置が施されて救われるべき命だということですね。
So we did an episode on gender bias and how you should in language and how we should be aware of our what language we use. And it seems similar to that. So maybe up to now people have said commit suicide, but we should be aware of what the stigma that that brings, and we should be changing our language to say died by suicide. Interesting. Mm.
そうですね。ちょっとこの今までもジェンダーバイアスのエピソードなんかでどんどん英語を使う言葉なんかもね、いろいろ変わって進化していかなければいけないというお話をしましたけれども、この件も同じですね。コメ、スイサイルじゃなくて、ダイバイスイサイルという表現にしていかなければいけないですね。
In fact, in Japan, there's a lot of research that says that the stigma around this topic or the shame around this topic is significantly greater than it is in many other countries. And that accounts for the high suicide rate because they're not getting the treatment and it's creating that barrier and they're just dying by the shame and the guilt of the condition. Right? So the stigma here is significantly greater than many other countries. So it's a big factor.
まあ、日本では、まあ、自殺ということに対するこうスティグマ、まあ、ちょっと恥の概念ですとかそういったことが他国よりも、まあ、そう感じる割合が大きいということで、まあ、だからこそ予防できなくて結果的に高い自殺率っていうのが変わらないままっていう側面もあるんですね。だから決して自殺っていうのが、その人が自ら犯すことではなくて、あくまでも病気の結果として起きてしまうことだから、それをみんなで、それは治療されるべきことである。不名誉なことでも、スティグマでも何でもないっていうふうに考えをそこから変えていかないと、こういう高い自殺率っていうところも変われないんでしょうね。
うん。
うん。
Okay, and the next clip is also something we had to cut out from the episode, sadly, just because it was getting too long, really. You know, when we do these interviews, when we do a episode about a phrase, then an interview, it tends to get very long, and people often write to us and say, please try to keep it down to 30 minutes. But here is just some more content, some more interesting stuff about how COVID has affected suicide rates.
Like in my experience, like I often get some messages from like my younger generation that they are having like mental health issues and that's still going on. But in Japan, it's still like a shame or like it is a bit difficult to open up and ask to someone else. And I really feel that it has to be changed.But like no one really speaks up about their own experience. So that's actually what I'm concerned about.
Correct. And before Corona, one in five people in the workplace struggled with a mental health problem. And depression, right? And depression was a huge cost to businesses in Japan. So now we've got Corona and we've got all the stresses and the anxiety.Of the past 18 months that is leading to a lot of people becoming more depressed. So that's an extra strain that we're all experiencing. So I think the problem's only going to be, you know, exacerbated in the next, you know, 1 to 2 years. Maybe more.
Yes.
It sounds a bit brutal when you put it in terms of costs for business, but I wonder if that is like a way of thinking that would appeal to...You know, industry.
Absolutely. Selena and I give these sorts of talks, and we do talk dollars. because that's what businesses listen to, right? And they listen to numbers. And the other figure that we often quote is that 61% of employees struggled with stress before COVID. And so much research is coming out saying how last year was the most stressful year for most employees ever, and particularly for women and particularly for young people, younger employees, right? So you add that into the situation and it's not looking like it's going to be, you know, good for everybody's mental health going forward. And all of us in this disaster have experienced what we talk about, which is a traumatic stress response. So we're all got this heightened stress coming at us, right? And depending on the support you've got around you as to how resilient you'll be. So if you had a, you know, a marriage that was maybe struggling, you've got financial issues, maybe you've got a new child and that's put extra stresses on you, maybe you already had mental health issues, maybe you're caring for a family member, maybe you had COVID, maybe you lost someone to COVID, all of those things are just going to exacerbate the losses and the stresses that we've all encountered in the last 18 months. And that's a lot that we're that people are having to deal with, and we're still in it.
And the number of deaths from COVID is less than the number of the deaths of by suicide. So,
yeah, I'm not sure what the number of deaths of to COVID was last year. But hear it each day, you know, they might say 27 or something. And I think the reality at the moment, it's about 60 people a day are dying by suicide. And it's preventable, right?
God, that really does put into context, like you think about how much effort, rightly so, is going into the COVID fight. And there's more people dying by suicide. And yet it's still talked about, like, as you said, with shame and taboo and stigma.
Correct. And there'll be lots of people that are dying from heart disease, and there'll be lots of people that are dying from cancer, but we're supporting them, right? We'd rush them to a medical services, and we'd give them all the treatment and we'd give them all the support. But the person with the mental health, we're not.
Yeah.
We're just letting them struggle. We're, you know, ashamed or embarrassed, or we don't have the confidence to have that conversation, and then they feel nobody cares, and they're, you know, how, and they're just getting worse. So it's you know, we're not going anywhere positive.
Okay, well, that was a very heavy episode. We're going to end the episode with a slightly more cheerful note. So I actually had to record this during the day. I had to take a week off work in August because my baby Luna's Hoikoyang had to close because of corona. Someone connected to it had corona, so they closed for a few days or a week, which meant I had to look after Luna every single morning until 2 o'clock when her mum can come home. So we actually recorded this episode with Luna asleep next to me, and she was so good. She literally fell asleep just before the interview and then woke up just as the interview finished. And anyway, it's nice to hear Tenemi talking to a baby. This is something to cheer you up at the end. You can't hear me because I wasn't holding my mic anymore because I was trying to navigate a baby. Anyway, thank you very much again for your support. And if you do want to support what we're trying to do with Tell, check out, just Google Tell events or Tell Step Up Challenge, and maybe make a donation, just any kind of awareness. Maybe, you know, Tell is for the English language speakers of Tokyo, or not Tokyo, Japan. You know, maybe that's not the charity for you. Maybe you want to support something for Japanese people. I'm sure any issues that Tell face in terms of funding or lack of resource, you know, the equivalents in Nochi no Denwa or whatever it may be in Japan, has exactly the same issues. Anyway, peace and love. Be safe, be happy, be well. And if you're not feeling well, please talk to someone about it. Bye.
Luna-chan. Ah! Oh, she has more hair.
What,
13 months? 13 months! Hello, Luna-chan! Like, she's more like a person. than an embryo.
Yay!
Hey! Hey!